Thank the Lord again for another service. Appreciate your prayers this afternoon. So when I was preparing for this week, I had a little more than I could share maybe in one service. I was going to try to do it, and I didn't know how it was going to go. And then Sister Maxine calls me, or she texted Renell and said that she wasn't going to come at all. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe the Lord wants to do something like that, you know. Call Brother Damon, see if he had a desire for the service, and it was a possibility that he might do something this afternoon, but just pray the Lord blesses what we have this afternoon. It's a little bit more of the same, I would think, but maybe along a little different line, so we can get into the Word in Daniel chapter 9. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans." So I want us to keep in mind that this was the first year of Darius. Okay, and I believe that Darius was only king maybe 2 years, I think, is what I had read. But so this was in his first year of his reign. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So he was studying, apparently, the word of God and studying the scrolls and reading the prophecy of Jeremiah and how the Lord had determined that it would be 70 years of captivity. And Daniel apparently had lived throughout those years in captivity. Okay? And in verse 3 it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." So he set his face to pray about it, and to pray regarding the 70 years. Now I'm assuming that he's praying that the Lord would fulfill his promise and allow them to be delivered from captivity and to restore his people back to the land like he said he would. And so he's determining in his heart to pray to the Lord about this. And it says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." And he goes on to make confession. He says in verse 5, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." And so he's praying essentially not just for himself, he's praying for the nation, really, right? A prayer of repentance and a prayer of restoration unto God and declaring the promises of God. And he's seeking the Lord out for this promise to be fulfilled. Okay. Daniel chapter 6. I want to start first by reading verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," this was the writing that was saying there was a law that no man ought to pray to any other god other than to the king. And they made it a law and they signed it. And anybody that did so was to be sent to the lions, right? "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know, I think of this after having heard what the declaration was going to be. He prayed. What I want to draw our attention to is the fact that he opened up his windows. Now, was he showing off? Was he doing it for everyone to look upon him and to see him? It said that he always did this, right? That he opened up his windows and he prayed toward Jerusalem, it says. Why would he do that? Why would he pray towards Jerusalem? It obviously wasn't because he was bragging or wanting everyone else to see him praying, but he prayed to Jerusalem for a reason. Let's go to 1 Kings 8. First Kings chapter 8, and we're going to read starting at verse 46. And this is Solomon's prayer after dedicating the temple. He prayed unto the Lord and dedicated it, and he had a lot of things to pray about with regards to the people of Israel going forward. And this was one area that he prayed about. And verse 46, if they sin against thee, if your people sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. So this is very applicable, right, to the situation we're talking about. Daniel is in captivity. The children of Israel were in captivity, and he's saying that if any of them find themselves in this predicament, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. That's what Daniel was doing, right? In his prayer, he was saying, we as a people have sinned, Lord, and thus have we done. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. So if they pray towards the city of your father, of their fathers, towards the house which I have built, it says, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. So Daniel was praying towards the Jerusalem for a reason. You could say that he was standing on the promises of God. He was standing on the word of God. And so when he opened up his windows to face towards Jerusalem and prayed, it wasn't praying for everybody else to see. No doubt everyone else did see, because they knew that Daniel had a tendency to do this. Right? They didn't accuse him or bring about a trap of this kind just arbitrarily. They knew that this was something that could possibly overtake him and ensnare him. They knew that he prayed three times a day because they saw him. But that was not the intent of Daniel. He was not praying for them to see him. He was praying towards Jerusalem in a sense to stand on God's word. Now, what did God say as a result of this prayer that Solomon prayed? Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. What is it? 7 and 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. So essentially God acknowledged the prayer of Solomon, said, I've heard it, and essentially, I'm going to do what it is that you've asked of me to do.
Thank the Lord.
And so that gave them something to stand on, something to rely upon in their endeavor to pray into the Lord. And so that's where we find ourselves here in Daniel, in that he's praying through the windows, facing towards Jerusalem, to have his prayers heard before God, that their captivity would be released. Okay? Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole realm, or the whole kingdom. Darius. Chapter 9, it said that Daniel had come across this writings during Darius. Okay, Darius was not around very long. I think it was 1 or 2 years that he reigned. And so it doesn't necessarily say right here, I don't think, that it was the first year of Darius, but it's around the same time, okay? So during Darius's reign, this whole thing came out. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him, which was a wonderful testimony for Daniel to have. Then said they, these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And so we know what had happened. We know that the law passed, and so now Daniel is faced with this situation where, does he pray? Even though he knows that it's been written, that it's a law, that it cannot be changed, that it will be upheld, or he will be held accountable. But he goes ahead and prays anyways. And I think about this in light of our scripture this morning, in that he swore unto his own hurt and changed not. So it said that he had determined in his heart in chapter 9 to seek the Lord about this thing. He had made a commitment to make prayers and supplications and fastings with sackcloth and ashes. You know, I personally believe that this was very similar time frame. Now, I don't have any real basis to confirm that and say, yes, this was the same month and the same year or whatever. But you know that the devil does not let us go without opposition. You know, Daniel, this was a very serious event right here. He didn't just stumble upon this writing. He didn't just stumble upon this this information. But this was very important for him to know, and for him to pray about. You know, I had a study a while back, and I think it was in Four Corners, about prayer. Do you think prayer is just arbitrary? Do you think it's just unimportant, really? Or is it just about us? Is prayer just a nicety? The Lord wants us to pray. Right? He wants us to pray. And I don't even think that it's just because He kind of likes it. I don't believe that prayer is just because God likes for us to talk to Him and He just needs some company and so He wants us to pray. I believe that prayer is very important.
Yes, amen.
In the kingdom of God. And I believe that prayer in this case was very important. That Daniel repent for the people of God. Not everybody was serving the Lord. I don't know how many people bowed to the idol when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. I mean, we have them that showed that they refused, but how many people did it? But yeah, we're talking about the deliverance from captivity for a whole nation of what could have been maybe a handful of people, maybe more than that, but a small number, I'm sure, of people who were devout and earnestly seeking the Lord. I don't think that it's so much that God desires us to pray or wants us to pray, but I also think that there's an element in there of He needs us to pray. And I know that that's kind of a statement that's, makes people a little bit, I don't know, you know. God needs something? But let's put it like this. The Lord has given us free will, right?
Yes.
He's allowed us to choose yes or no.
Yes.
In the garden, He let Adam and Eve choose, essentially, whether to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them not to. But they didn't have a, there wasn't a barrier there to keep them from doing it. You understand what I'm saying? Not like He put when He said, okay, they're not going to eat up from the tree of life now. Right? And He said He put an angel there with a flaming sword or whatever to guard the tree of life. You're not going to eat of that now. So obviously He could have done that, right? But He didn't. He allowed them. Don't eat of it. These are the consequences, but they still had the ability to do so. He gave them that potential, if you will. And I believe that God still honors that free will.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And so when we have an opportunity to pray to Him, what that is us exercising our free will to invite Him in.
Yes.
We're saying, Lord, we want You to step in. Lord, we want You to intervene. Lord, we want You to be involved in this. We're calling upon You. Almost like, it's almost like He's standing there waiting to get in, but He don't want to go against somebody's free will, you know what I mean? But he wants to interact. He wants to work. He wants to get involved. And our prayers are like a petition in inviting Him to get involved.
Yes.
And so when Daniel is praying, it's like him inviting God in. It's him exercising and saying, Lord, I understand that we've sinned, and I understand that as a nation we failed You and we went away and we dishonored You and we did what it was in our own minds to do, or our own hearts to do, or we followed after our lusts and sinful pleasures and we forsook You. But Lord, forgive us. Help us. Get involved. Deliver us from this captivity. When you start praying for the deliverance of individuals, for bondages to be broken, for the healing of the sick, both spiritually and physically, and you get into a mode of opposition to the enemy, you think he's not going to fight back? You don't think that he's going to have some opposition to that? Because your prayers matter.
Yes.
Your prayers are significant. Your prayers aren't just going up into the air and they don't really have a whole lot of meaning. God does whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. He has the ability to do everything he wants. Yes, he does. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he will institute that power or that ability in every situation without being invited to do so. And so when we call out unto the Lord and ask him to save us and to deliver us, it's like we're letting him in. And now, devil, we can come against you, and you're not gonna affect my child. You're not gonna hurt my child. It's like I told you earlier. Whatever happened when I prayed and the Lord saved my soul, it was like the devil was, the hedge of protection went up, and he could no longer take me out by the mercy of God. But prior to that, I was his child. I was the devil's child. And so I just want us to know that our prayers matter. They're important. And it's not just for us to feel good about ourselves. But it's part of the means of the kingdom. And so here Daniel is, he comes to find out something very paramount to the deliverance of the children of Israel, so much so that he decides to fast and pray about it in sackcloth and ashes, and he's going to bring forth his supplication to the Lord, and he's determined, I'm going to pray to God about this. He's going on the offensive, and just give me the liberty, but at the same time, the devil comes to oppose. You will not pray. No. We're gonna bring about a declaration of no prayer for 30 days. Who does that? Right? Just all out of, you think they just came out of that out of their minds? Oh well, that's it, prayer. Let's just attack prayer. I think there's much more to it than that. And if Satan is willing to attack prayer, it gives us a reason to acknowledge or understand the importance of it. And so here Daniel is faced with a situation where he's come to the realization of something that's very, very serious. And all of a sudden, the declaration goes out of no prayer. Don't you dare pray, or else you will go to the lions. Maybe Daniel could have said, well, I can wait 30 days to pray. Could he? Have you ever waited 30 days to pray about something? It was heavily on your heart at the time, and you saw the need, you saw the desperation of it, you saw the importance of it, and it was a burden upon your heart, and it was like the Spirit of God was moving upon you, and then you got distracted. Something else came up. What happened 20 days later, or 2 days later, or 30 days later? You got to hope for another inspiration, right? You got to hope for the Lord to put that on you again. The desperation of it, the importance of it, the need. Because that is important in our prayer too. All that is important. It's like getting up here to preach. You know, it better be anointed. It better have the Spirit of God upon it. Amen. And that's where our prayers need to be. They need to be anointed. And that's what helps our prayers to be anointed is when we are in.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so Daniel is faced with, will I save my life and wait 30 days to pray? Or will I stand in and say, I don't care what the declaration is or the law is that says I can't do it. I don't care that they're going to throw me in the den of lions. This is bigger than me. This is more important than me. This is our nation. This is a lot of people involved. And you know, I'm not completely convinced that when Daniel prayed, that the people didn't hear him pray. And be inspired by the prayer. You know, I think of Solomon's prayer. It was a prayer that the nation heard, or those within the vicinity heard. And I can foresee, I just imagine Daniel praying, "Lord, forgive us. Lord, we've failed you. Lord, we've sinned and fallen short, and we have forsaken you. But even still, listen to our prayer. Hear our cry. Deliver us from this enemy. Restore us back to our nation." I could see that being an inspiration to others. And it's not being about him, and it's not being about people recognizing him pray. But he had a choice to save himself. And yet he chose to pray on. And so I say that to say that, you know, we're talking about earlier, setting our face like a flint. Unwavering. Pray on. When the devil seeks to oppose you, and he will, when he seeks to make it seem like it's impossible to keep going, or when he makes it feel like it's unnecessary, or it's not fulfilling, or it's not doing what it is that we think it ought to do, and it's not meaning anything, I don't see any results, nothing's happening. Pray on. Amen. Don't let the devil shut you up. And calling out unto the Lord and recognizing the importance of this thing. And I mean, for me, as a father of children, Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. I don't know how to help them get where they need to be. I don't know how to help them find the deliverance and the salvation that only you have. I don't know how to just pour it into their hearts. But teach me, show me, instruct me. Can you imagine being in prayer with desperation that God would help you to know what to do, what to say, how to react to this situation and that situation, because this could be a soul that's on my hands. The Lord has given them to me, and I have a responsibility. It's bigger than me. Yes. And it goes further beyond that. These Sunday school teachers, I mean, they have that influence over the children. I mean, the aunts and uncles, the grandparents, they all have a part to play. And it's bigger than us. And I pray that the Lord would help us to have our face set like a flint, unwavering. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep pushing forward. Maybe it's hurtful. Maybe it's hard, difficult, overwhelming even, tiring. You feel at a loss for what to do. May the Lord help us to have a mind that we never give up. We never quit. We never retire. We just keep going and going and going, because we know the Lord our God and who we serve, and we believe that He is worthy of this. He's worthy of their devotion and their commitment and their service. And if they could just get a hold of it and just get a realization in their heart of who God is and what He came to do and what He can do in their lives, then it'd be all worth it.
Yes, amen.
I'm thankful that Daniel prayed.
Yeah.
He continued to pray.
Yes.
He continued to seek after God. He didn't allow it to move him or cause him to waver, but he committed into his endeavor to serve the Lord. And it says that he determined in his heart to pray and to fast and to bring forth his supplication unto the Lord. And I pray that the Lord would help me to be unwavering in that way too.
Yes.
That I'm willing to pray on, and I'm willing to fight on, and I'm willing to do what I need to do, and I'm willing to say, Lord, that didn't work, and so I need you to help me do something that will. teach me, instruct me, Lord.
Yes.
I've never been a father before. You know, I've never been this before or that before. It's not just being a father. There's other things. I need the Lord to help me to know how to minister.
Yes.
To know how to be a edifying into the body of Christ. A benefit into them, that they would receive what they need to have to grow and mature and to fulfill in their what the Lord has for them. Unwavering in our commitment to serve the Lord and do all that He would have us to do. To be unflinching like Paul and determined to face hard things, fiery trials, if you will, for the sake of not just my own salvation, but for the salvation of others.
Yes.
And for their encouragement and their growth.
Yes.
May the Lord help us to set our faces as a flint and not to give up.
Amen.
Remember, your prayers are important. God doesn't just have us pray just because. But I do believe that it's us inviting Him in. Inviting Him to give us counsel and guidance. Inviting Him to correct us. To reprove us. To instruct us. Lord, bring it. We need it. I understand the need. And I'm asking You to intervene. And get involved. And I believe the Lord just... I'm so glad You asked. I'm so glad that You invited me in. Let's get to work. And so I appreciate your time and attention this afternoon. Pray that the Lord would help us to swear to our own hurts and change not, to continue no matter what oppositions may come against us, to set our minds and our hearts and our attention on the service of the Lord and whatever it is that He has for us to do, and it will be unwavering and unchanging in that. Pray for me.